You have a testimony on missions too, but now you gave one here and just getting better and better every time. So good, so good. All right. Right now, I'm going to give the message for today. Praise the Lord. Last week, I preached on a personal topic that relates to all of us. I preached on pride and humility and our sense of identity. Today, I'm going to preach on another interesting topic. But before we talk about that, let's open our Bibles. Let's look at the passage together. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews is towards the end of the Bible. Hebrews 13, starting at verse 1. I'm reading from the ESV. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? All right, I'm going to get one more passage. Romans 12, verse 13. Just one verse. All right. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Amen. This is God's word. All right, let's pray. Father, just thank you for this house. Thank you for your church. And yeah, thank you just for your word, God, that by your word you teach us your ways and you build us up. So I just pray for this message to go out right now. Pray for your anointing upon it, God. I pray that you would help me to speak what you want me to speak. And yeah, just with your heart as well. And that you would give us hearts to understand. And that you would shape us and build us up to become more and more like you through this message, through your word, God. And so we ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, if you haven't guessed already what the topic is I'm going to be preaching on, you might already have an idea what it might be. You may think, oh, this is not the most exciting or thrilling topic. This is a topic, it's a theme that many Christians don't necessarily consider to be on the forefront or the primary topic that we talk about. A lot of us consider it secondary. Oh, yeah, that's important, but, you know, it's not like one of the central things, parts of the Christian life. But, I want to maybe persuade you otherwise today. Persuade you that this is an important, not only theme, but also a characteristic and a quality that all of God's people should be cultivating and building up in our own lives. And this is the quality of hospitality. Hospitality. And when we think of hospitality, we think of hotels. We think of, you know, there's a hospitality industry, right? There are airlines and hotels and inns and amusement parks and, you know, all part of the hospitality industry, make people feel comfortable. When we think of hospitality, we think of fine china. We think of Martha Stewart and those catalogs and how to be a great host. We have all these ideas in our Western world of what hospitality means. But today I wanted to look at what does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible teach us? Because this is a really important quality for us to cultivate. And the Bible, when it talks about qualities that a Christian leader in the church should have, it describes a lot of different qualities, like you have to be respectable, you have to be able to teach, you have to be above reproach, you know, all these things. You have to have good management of your household and family. But there's one quality there that's often overlooked. It's called being hospitable. Like, being hospitable is a essential characteristic of being a Christian leader. So much so that the Apostle Paul says, like in 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you're not hospitable, then you are not qualified to be an overseer in the church of God. So it's a very important quality, and I felt like it was important for us as a house to consider what this means, what it looks like, what would it even look like for our house, for our church, to be a place that is very hospitable in the city of Sydney. So, if you don't mind, just take the just next 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes. Talk about hospitality. I'm just kidding. It's not going to be that long. But hey, there's an advertisement. Maybe many of you guys have seen it for the Mexican beer Corona. You guys have seen this advertisement? Sometimes it's on TV. And, you know, it's like people just going through the hustle and bustle of life. Sometimes it's so hectic, so chaotic, so much business, so much craziness going on. And then all of a sudden, you see this person, they're like in the middle of a city, and everybody's, you know, crossing the streets, and it's so busy, so hectic. And then all of a sudden, they see their friends, and then it turns into this beach, right? And they just pull out their Coronas, like, oh. And then, it's always, the commercial always ends on the beach, and it's like a guy and a girl sitting on their beach chair, just chilling, just looking at the ocean. You know, just sipping on their Corona. Actually, you can't sip, right, on TV. But they're just holding their Corona. And then the tagline says, find your beach. You guys, anybody seen that advertisement? No, they don't show it in Australia. Okay. Do you guys drink Corona? No, don't answer that, right? Just testing you. No, but, it's a famous advertisement in America, at least. I'm sorry. I'm not Aussie enough to know. I don't own a TV anymore. But, this commercial is very, very, it's attractive. They have billboards as well. You just see a beach, and it's like a place of relaxation, a place of restoration. Even in the craziness of life, where being out there, you know, working and just trying to make a living and just trying to deal with all the things that life brings, it wears you down, it drains you, but you can find a place, no matter where you are, even in the craziness of a city, you can find your beach. You can find that place of rest, that place of home. You know, a lot of times it's with our friends, but the commercials say, find your beach, right, wherever that is. There's another commercial, you're like, this guy's on an airline, he's on an airplane, but even on an airplane, if you have a Corona, then you can find peace, and you can find rest. You know, it's a pretty catchy commercial. I like what they're doing, but I feel like, you know, this is what God calls us to do. Is even in the craziness of living life, when the storms of life hit us, and just going through our weeks and our days, and it's so busy and a lot of pressures and so much to think about, so much to be weighed down by, just feeling so weary going through life. And the Bible says that there is, we should be able to create places that are like places of rest, places of restoration, not only for ourselves, but for other people. And to invite others into that kind of place. And that's called the practice of hospitality. See, that's what hospitality is you create a beach. Don't just find your beach, but you create a beach, not only for yourself, but to bring other people into that place. Because think about it. You know, life, even modern life, where we're living in a city like Sydney, it's pretty crazy, right? I talk to a lot of you guys throughout the week, and I ask you guys how you're doing. And a lot of times you just go through life, and it's wearisome. Okay? You have your daily responsibilities, daily tasks to do, and then life throws you curveball here and there, and just having to deal with all these things, our spirits get weighed down. And like Corona says, when life throws you a lime, find your beach. All right, Corona, yeah, man, they find it. So, anyways, I'm not saying you need to drink beer or anything like that to find your beach, but you guys get what I'm saying, right? So there was this church planter. He's a well-respected church planting strategist in America, and he said, "Do you know what the key will be to evangelism in the 21st century?" He was teaching a church planting class, and all the students were like, "Oh man, yo, this is like one of the top church planters in the world. Like, what's the key?" Like, everybody was so silent; they were just waiting. And then he goes, "Hospitality. Hospitality, really." The key to evangelism, the key to reaching people in the world in 21st century is something as simple as hospitality. It's like, just invite someone for dinner to my place. That's the key to building up the church of God in the 21st century. Yes, it's that simple. That's a powerful, powerful revelation. And I feel like if we as a body, if we as a people, if we as a church here in New Philly, Sydney, if we could really catch a vision for hospitality, for being very hospitable individually and as a community, if we could be that kind of hospitable community for the city of Sydney, I think that will be so powerful, right? Like a place where people can come in wearied from life, and all the pressures and all the burdens and all the distraction, and we can be like a corporate beach. Okay, I'm going to stop using that metaphor, okay? But I thought it was good, right? You guys like it, right? Yeah, Luis, you like it. We could be like a beach for them, you know, like a refuge, a shelter. And also just one-on-one individual relationships, you know, welcoming in the weary traveler, the foreigner, and people who are, you know, just all across different walks of life. If we could be that kind of community, man. You know, he says this is the key because to evangelism because, you know, we don't really see too many big crusades anymore. You know, also, you know, we have mega churches, big churches as well. But what people are longing for now, especially in cities where cities are big and it's easy to feel lonely in cities, right? Going through life. You know what I mean? I'm getting older. I'm 30 now. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who, they move around, you know, especially in our culture now. People move from city to city. A lot of you here didn't grow up in Sydney. Maybe you've been here for a couple years, a few years for school or for work or for whatever reason. And, you know, we live in a very mobile, transitory culture. And what happens is, like, a lot of my friends, and they have good jobs, good careers and stuff, but they're moving around and, you know, I remember one friend I was connecting with back in New York when I went a few weeks ago. And you know, he was just telling me, like, we met up. And he was just like, "Yeah, man, I'm lonely." And he was just laughing about it. He's like, "It's funny, but it's true." You know, and this guy, you know, he's accomplished in his career, right? He went to a good medical school. He's going to become a doctor. You know what I mean? Like, he's living in New York City. And I don't want to give too many details because I don't want to reveal who it is. If you know, if you live in New York City, I'm sorry if you know, I'm sorry, my friend, if you're listening to this. But anyways, he was just telling me, like, "Man, I'm lonely." You know what I mean? Like, I got friends here, but, like, people are getting busy too, and just life is busy, and, you know, I hang out with my coworkers time to time, stuff like that. But, you know what I mean? Like, there's people in every city. There's people even in this church who are feeling like they're lonely, you know, feeling like they're on the outside, on the margins. And if you have a heart of hospitality, if you have an eye for hospitality, you will notice who those people are. And your heart will go out to them. And as you begin to learn to practice hospitality, we'll welcome those kind of people in. You know, and people into our lives, into our circles, and just help them and be a place of home or a place of refuge, a place of friendship and fellowship. And I feel like our church, you know, even though we're young, like most of us are in our 20s, some of us in our 30s, okay? But even though we're young, I feel like it's never too young to learn to start practicing hospitality. All right, so I want to first talk about what hospitality is. And to talk about what hospitality is, we have to talk about what hospitality is not. Okay, because we, you know, especially in our Western world today, we have a certain view of hospitality, what that means. And, you know, hospitality is not just entertaining. A lot of times we think about hospitality, we think, oh, entertaining people, right? Showing them a really nice home, bringing out the good dinnerware, the good flatware, you know, make a really nice meal, and, you know, kind of impress them with, you know, my hospitality skills, and, you know, make myself look good and entertain, you know, and then for one evening. Sometimes we get that kind of from the culture. When you see the magazines, you see Martha Stewart Living, you see all this stuff, and that's the kind of vision that we get. But that's not essentially what hospitality is. You can have hospitality without all that. It's not just entertaining. It's not having the finest things to bring out. You know, hospitality is also not just when you have family or friends visiting from outside Sydney, and they're coming to Sydney. And it's not just, you know, like taking them around to see the sights of Sydney. And, oh, let me show you the best places to eat, the cool little cafes, because I'm a Sydney insider. I know all the cool places to go. You know, all right, that could be part of hospitality, but that's not the essence of what hospitality is. See, hospitality, at its essence, this verse, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. That word hospitality is the Greek word philoxenia. Philo means love, xenia means strange. It means love of the strange. Right? You guys know the word Philadelphia, which means love of brothers. Right? That's why we're called New Philadelphia. So we're called New Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, you know, the city is often called the city of brotherly love. But not only Philadelphia, but philoxenia is love of the strange, love of the different, love of the other. So the heart and the essence of hospitality is your heart going out and reaching out to people who are different. People who are, dare I say, strange. People who are different from you, who may not look like you. Because if you think about it, the kind of people that you like to hang out with, the kind of people that you want to invite to your home, the kind of people you naturally show hospitality to are people who are very similar to you. Maybe similar age, similar interests. They're very similar to what you're like. Similar outlook on life. Because of your similarities, you connect because you're the same. But hospitality, philoxenia, says it's love of the strange. It's reaching out, your heart going out to people who are different from you. And that's the heart of hospitality. You see, and in the Mediterranean culture way back then, in the times of the biblical times, this is the definition of hospitality that it says in the New Dictionary of Later New Testament Development or something like that, right? I forget what it's called. But this is the definition. It says, it's a social process by means of which the status of someone who is an outsider is changed from stranger to guest. So basically, you're taking someone who's different, who's someone who's outside, who's not in your inner circle. You know, it's out of your comfort zone. And you're taking them and you're bringing them from an outsider to a guest. And you're inviting them into your life. You're bringing them into your home. And possibly even turning them into a good friend. And this is what hospitality is. You change a stranger into your guest. And, you know, it's so simple. It's just basically out there, right? Life out there is tiring. It's wearisome. It's draining. You know, out there it's tough, it's cold, but man, when you bring someone into your home, you know, it's like, it's nice. When someone invites me into the home, I always appreciate it because, you know, not only the time it takes, but the cost and, you know, all the thought that, the schedule and all this stuff. But when you pay that cost and you bring someone into your home, into your space, into your inner circle, so to speak, you're inviting them into a place of rest, a place of warmth, a place of fellowship. Basically, you're inviting them into your beach. There I go again, right? I'm going to that metaphor again. I'm like, just keep using it because it's good, right? But man, that's powerful, right? And that's what hospitality is. And, you know, there's a chapter in the book of Luke chapter 14, where Jesus talks about what kind of guests you should be inviting to your dinner banquet. Jesus got invited to a lot of feasts, a lot of banquets. And he's at this one banquet. And the host only invited his closest friends and also Jesus. And Jesus sees that. And he says, let me tell you a story. He says, when you invite people to a banquet, when you hold a great feast, when you hold a dinner party, don't invite your friends. Don't invite your relatives. Don't invite your rich neighbors, because they're going to pay you back. They're going to invite you over to their place. They're going to pay you back with the same hospitality. Don't invite them. But no, go out and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Invite those people who other people are not inviting. People who are disadvantaged. People who don't have a home. People who are lacking. You know what I mean? And people who can't pay you back. And Jesus says, invite those people, because you're going to be repaid at the resurrection of the just. All right? So basically, don't ever invite your friends to your house, says the Bible. Or does it? Is that what it really says? Well, that's what it says, but you got to understand how to interpret the Bible, right? That's why I'm here. You know, that's why I'm a preacher. I'm going to tell you that that's not actually, you know, Jesus is using, he's using a figure of speech, okay? You know, like when he says stuff like hate your father and mother. He doesn't actually mean hate your father and mother, because in another place in the Bible, he says honor your father. How do I honor my father and mother and hate them at the same time? I don't understand the Bible. It's so confusing. Well, praise the Lord. This is why I went through 4 years of seminary to be able to teach you, right? What's it called? Yeah, so when he says, you know, don't invite your friends, that's not what he means literally, right? But he says he's challenging us. The natural way you invite people over, the natural people that you hang out with, that you spend time with, even if it's not your home, but even like if you're taking a trip somewhere, or you're going to hang out, or you're going to the beach, or you're going to your favorite cafe or whatever, who are the people that you bring in? It's your friends. It's the people who are like you. It's your family. The people that you enjoy. But Jesus, he's really challenging us. He's saying, no, the kind of people that you should be seeking to bring in, the kind of people that you should be practicing hospitality with, are people who, like the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. People who can't pay you back. People who are not as lovely as you are, or as beautiful as you are. New Philly, Sydney, you're very beautiful. You're very lovely, right? But, you know, you guys, he's saying, I want you to open your eyes and notice those people. You know what I mean? Like, for, you know, I say this with the heart of a pastor. I really love you guys. I love our community. But, you know, it's just our natural inclination, our natural tendency. And I see many of us, we so easily just are drawn to the people that are more like us. And, you know, in every church, there's those people who feel like they're kind of on the outside, kind of on the fringes, kind of feel like, oh, it's hard for me to break in. Maybe you felt like that if you've ever visited a new church, if you're tried to enter into a new community. I felt like that. I felt like that before. You guys are thinking, wow, Pastor Paul, you're so amazing. How could you ever feel? You know, even I felt like that myself as well, right? I'm just kidding. I don't think of myself like that. Okay, but, you know, I know what that's like. Right? And some of you guys know what that's like as well. And to be a community that shows hospitality, you know, this is challenging for me too. And I'm a pastor. Right? Like, there are certain people that are, you know, more easier to spend an evening with. Right? But the Bible teaches us, and God is challenging us, man, learn to show hospitality to strangers. That's what it says in Hebrews 13. Love of strangers. Love of the other. Love of those who are different. Right, when you think about your schedule, when you think about how you're going to spend your evenings, your weekend, when you're thinking about your holidays and who to invite over, when you're thinking about these things, are you thinking just like the rest of the world thinks? Or is your mind being transformed to think more and more how God thinks? We are to be a people who practice hospitality. You know, the Old Testament talks about the alien. Not the alien, but, you know, basically the word is the foreigner, right? The person, the international foreigner. Okay. And let me tell you something. At our church, we have a lot of foreigners. Right? Whether you came here just for school, whether you came here for work, whether you came here to plant a church and you had no job and you had no family here. We had actually a good number of our people in this house are foreigners. And let me tell you something. When you move to another country, it's pretty tough. And if you grew up here, it's hard to fully experience and understand if you grew up in your homeland. But as a foreigner, there's a lot of different challenges and obstacles that you have to face, and it's hard. And for many of us, you know, myself included, I'm a foreigner too. I'm from America, but I've been here for about a little less than a year, almost a year soon. And there's been many challenges. And you know what I mean? Like, can we be a house that, like, know, like, understands, like, people are foreigners and understands, like, man, it's hard for people to even find a home in the city. But hey, here at New Philly, Sydney, you know, you can find a home. You can find a place where you can rest, where you can belong. You know what I mean? Just a place to relax from all the weariness having to deal with finding a job as a foreigner, getting your visas, getting, you know, your house, you know, just figuring out life and just even trying to get settled, all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, are we welcoming those people in? This is a specific word of challenge to people who grew up in Sydney, right? Hey, many of you guys, you've been doing a great job as well. But I just want to challenge you even more, right? Are you guys noticing who those people are? You know, it's funny because Sydney is a unique city. It's pretty unique. And so I know just even our church, just to where we are in our life stage, many of us are young, you know, early, mid-20s. Some of us upper 20s. But a lot of us who grew up in Sydney, we still live with our family, right? And so you may think, oh, I don't necessarily have my own home. Okay, I don't have a place to invite people in because it's my parents' place. You may think like that, but, you know, you can be creative. You know what I mean? If it's too weird for you to invite people to your parents' home, and some of you guys have opened up your place one time or another, and, you know, I think we've all been blessed through different ways like that. Right? But it's not just, you know, even though I don't have a place, it's like, hey, helping people get settled, taking them out to show the places, your favorite places in Sydney, you know, calling them, hey, you want to go to the beach together? Even simple things like that. It's like helping people find a home. You know what I mean? And I really want to challenge our entire church. I feel like we've been good in ways, but I feel like we can really, really grow. You know what I mean? The kind of people you're spending time with. Not just inviting the old gang over and over again. You know, you hung out with them 5 times in the past month. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. You should keep doing that. Don't be like, oh, the Bible says never invite your friends. No, hang out with them. Right? You need that fellowship as well. But you should also plan and think about your life in such a way. How can I be loving the stranger? Loving the person who's different. Looking out for the person who's a little bit confused, a little bit lost, who just needs someone to talk to. And even if it's a simple dinner. Like, honestly, I am not a good cook. And so, actually, I'm a terrible cook, all right? So I'm really bad, okay? And so, you know, for many years, I thought, like, oh, man, you know, if I invite people over, like, you know, let's just go out. You know what I mean? Like, I can't cook, or you know, my wife needs to cook. You know what I mean? I'll do the dishes and stuff. And that's often how we do it. Okay, I'm being vulnerable with you guys here, okay? But, you know what I mean? Like, a couple times I have cooked for people, and the food, like, it didn't come out that good, like, to be honest. I could see it on their face. You know, they were like, oh, this is good. You know, this is good, Pastor Paul. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you. It's not that good, but thank you so much, right? But, you know what I mean? Like, people don't really care. Honestly, it's not that important, like how much you impress them with your cooking or with the decor or with the fine china or all this stuff, right? How nicely your home is made and all that stuff. I mean, like, you know, it's nice to vacuum and clean up and all that stuff, but you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be all fancy, right? Even the simple thing. People care more about just being invited in and just that welcome, that heart of hospitality, that heart of welcome, right? More than all the, you know, extraneous stuff. All the details. And even those times when, you know, like most of the time my wife cooks, she's a great cook. But, you know, even those times when I have, it's been good. It's been powerful. And so I want to challenge you, you know, like you can be creative. Okay, maybe you just learn a dish, or maybe you can go out and show them to your favorite places. But whatever it is, right, who are you thinking about? If you start to actually practice hospitality, you see, hospitality is a practice. Romans 12:13 says, contribute to the needs of saints and seek to show hospitality. That word seek to show, most translations use the word practice. Practice hospitality. See, hospitality is a practice that you got to actually work at it. It's a discipline. Because hospitality doesn't come naturally. Right? Seek to show it. Don't just be passive. Right? Don't just wait for people to invite themselves over, or like, don't just like wait until someone's life is falling apart. You know what I mean? Like, be actively seeking out. Seek to show hospitality. Look out for the people. Who can I be inviting over next? And, you know, my wife and I, we're getting better at this, right? It's taken us some time even to settle into Sydney and get a discipline and practice going. But, you know, now we have, like, this list. And we're like, you know, who do we need to connect with next? You know, and we're thinking, and you might be thinking, oh, but you're the pastor. That's your job. You're supposed to, all right, okay. I hear what you're saying, right? But we do it out of love. And also, and you can do that as well. You can start to think, man, who are those people? Right, who can I have over my little tiny apartment? And there's only room for 3 people, so I can invite 2 other people into my room. And you know what I mean? Just be creative. Right? You can find a way. You can find a way. So you got to learn to practice hospitality. And, you know, another thing I wanted to talk about was the power of hospitality. Right, you see this verse 2, it says, don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. What is that talking about? Like, when you invite someone over, you might be entertaining an angel. Actually, it's talking about a few stories in the Bible where a person was being a gracious host, and he ended up hosting an angel, or even God himself. See, this is the power of hospitality, right? There's a certain power when you invite someone over. This is what it's talking about. You might be entertaining an angel. Okay, so in Genesis 18, you have Abraham. There's 3 travelers traveling along, and Abraham's just standing outside. When he sees them, he hurries up. He prepares this good meal, and he says, you know, sit down, just rest, take a break. Let me show you some hospitality. And Abraham shows him hospitality. It ends up being God and 2 angels. And you're thinking, what? He hosted? Don't worry about it, right? We're not talking about that. It's a complicated passage. But basically, he was hosting God. And we see that in the New Testament when Jesus was resurrected, right, in a resurrected body. And he was walking along the road to Emmaus. And 2 disciples bring him in for a meal. And as they're sharing that meal, all of a sudden their eyes are open. And they recognize that it was Jesus. They're hosting Jesus. They didn't even know it until they started showing hospitality. You see, when you're showing and practicing hospitality, there's power in that. A simple dinner, a simple meal, a simple asking someone to go out, spend an evening together. There's power that even sometimes God shows up, even when you didn't expect it. And you're saying, over my dinky little meal that, you know, like I barely knew how to cook. Yeah. There's power. There's power in hospitality. And, yeah, I just want to share you a couple stories. These are some powerful stories, right? So there's a story of missionaries in Indonesia. They were trying to reach the villages in Indonesia, and they were going out. And they were preaching the gospel. They were going from house to house. And nobody wanted to listen to the message of the gospel. They're like, oh, we're not interested. But what they realized was over a few weeks, over a few months, was that whenever the tribal leader came out, everyone would gather. And they would gather around fires. And they would cook yams over the fire. And then the leader would speak. And they would just sit there for hours listening to that leader. And so they saw this. And they actually took that practice and they made their own fire. And then they started cooking a bunch of yams. And then they invited the village people out. And then the village people started sitting down, cooking the yams, eating, enjoying. And then they started listening to the gospel message over yams. You know, like I can cook yams. Maybe, right? But you know what I mean? And then people started listening. And over time, the entire village started coming to Christ. And all of their old, idolatrous, pagan practices, they started putting it off. And man, just through the simple power of hospitality. Simple yams. So like, can you make mac and cheese? I'm pretty sure most of y'all can make mac and cheese, right? If you can't, maybe you can make a sandwich. You know, peanut butter and jelly or a simple sandwich. Or something, you know, even something simple like that. But even something as small as cooking yams together, that was the key to reaching these people so that their hearts would open. And you see, what happens is when you invite someone into your home, when you practice hospitality, you know what I mean? Like people, it's wearisome out there. You know, there's only a certain level, like even at church, even on Sundays. But man, you take them to that beach safe place. And people start to let down their guards. You know what I mean? You start to have interesting conversations. People start to open up. It starts leading different places. And man, there can be powerful moments even through evenings like that. There's power in hospitality. You know, I'm sure some of you here, you've experienced, you've received that kind of hospitality. And maybe it was just one night, just one conversation. But you were going through a hard time. And this person just invited you into their life. They opened up their home. And because of their gracious hospitality, their generosity, you just had that connection. And it helped you get through that time. I can think of multiple instances. You know, and this is one of the surprising blessings of even being a pastor. That, you know, one conversation, you have someone over your home. And man, that was powerful for this person. It really impacted this person's life. You know what I mean? And you can do that. You can minister powerfully just through hospitality. It could be a yam. It could be mac and cheese. It could be whatever. It doesn't matter. But you can impact people's lives. You can build them up. You can help them get through hard times. I mean, just through hospitality. That's the power. You know, I want to share another story. This is a story of a woman named Rosaria Butterfield. She's kind of well known. I don't know if any of y'all heard of her. But she used to be a lesbian. And she lives in the States. And she was very hostile to God, just totally against the church, against Christianity. She would never want to visit a church. But there was a pastor named Ken Smith who was her neighbor. And he was starting to befriend her just as a neighbor. And she actually, like, he was very loving, very kind. But she, you know, when she knew that he was a pastor, like, she didn't really want to be his friend. But she realized, but this guy, he's not taking no for an answer. You know, this is what she said. She said, basically his attitude was, we're going to be friends no matter what. And she was like, okay, all right. And he started to show her hospitality. And that started to break down her walls and her defenses. And someone who would have never visited a church any other way because of hospitality over time, her heart started to open up. And eventually she became a Christian. And now she's married to a Christian husband. They have four children. Her husband has actually now a pastor. And man, and you know, I think she wrote a book, or I forget what she did, but in her, you know, pretty famous story. But and this is what she says. She's like, don't underestimate the power of hospitality. Hospitality will reach and engage the people who will likely never visit your church on a Sunday. You see, fellowship is inviting your Christian friends over. Hospitality is inviting the stranger over. The person who you would have never thought to invite before. And there's power in that. It turns a stranger into a guest, into a friend. It could turn someone who's hostile to God into someone who's suddenly, surprisingly open. And over time, they might come to know the love and the grace of God just through simple hospitality. You guys getting the vision? You guys catching that? The Bible says, Psalm 68, God sets the lonely in families. That's what God does all throughout the Bible, starting in the Old Testament. God's heart is always going out. You see command again and again. You know, I'm reading through the Old Testament right now. And like over and over again, God says, I am the Lord your God. You shall not oppress the foreigner. You shall, you know, like be compassionate to the poor, to the widow, to the fatherless, to the broken, to the people who don't have the privileges, to those who are on the outside, to those who are on the margins. Over and over again, God's heart is going out to these people. It says God sets the lonely in families. In the New Testament, you see Jesus over and over again. He's hanging out with the tax collectors. He's hanging out with the prostitutes. He's eating with them. And the religious people are complaining. They're criticizing. Jesus, what are you doing? Hanging out with these people. Do you know who they are? Like, you shouldn't hang out with these people. They're sinners. You know, he was criticized. He was labeled. He's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That was the nickname that he earned, a glutton and a drunkard, because of his heart that was always reaching out to those who were lost, to those who were on the outside, to those who were broken, to those who just needed just a friendship. You see, Jesus' ministry wasn't just preaching, signs and wonders, healings, casting out demons. He did all that, but he also did the ministry of friendship, of relationship, of hospitality to the person who was left out, to the person who was unnoticed, to the person. You know what I mean? He had his eyes open, and he's just eating with them all the time. He's just having so much fun with them that they say he's a glutton and a drunkard. May that be said about our church. Man, New Philly, Sydney, bunch of gluttons and drunkards. Because they're always hanging out with, No, but seriously, though. No, let's not be like, oh, don't hang out with those. Let's just hang out with our friends, our close inner circle. No. Right? We need to have a bigger heart, a bigger vision for our lives. And so not only individually, but man, imagine we start to do that as a house and people come in and they feel so loved and accepted. People feel welcomed already when they come to Sunday. But like, man, like every person who comes in, if they've been here for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, like somebody should like invite them out or somebody should invite them in and be like, hey, you know, like I want to get to know you. I mean, let's connect. You know, and like, you know, we have CGs as well. But, you know, even through just that organic relational connection. Who are those people for you? You know, one thing that really challenged me, the story, Rosaria Butterfield, she said about that pastor, Ken Smith, his attitude was like, we're going to be friends no matter what. And, oh man, I just lost it. What did he say? Oh yeah. Basically, he said, God put us as neighbors on purpose. I mean, like, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. It didn't just happen by chance. God put me here next to you. That means I am supposed to be your friend. And it's like, hey, you know, even as a pastor, I'm still learning. I'm still growing, right? The Bible challenges us all. It challenges me too. I'm preparing for this message. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm going to teach our people to show hospitality. Oh, snap, Lord. I got to grow in this too. Because I don't really know my neighbors. I live in an apartment building. I got a bunch of neighbors. And, you know, some of them be, like, smoking weed all the time. No, seriously, like, I smell that weed every single day I walk up the stairs, right? And, you know, it's all good. I used to smoke a lot, so, you know what I mean? Like, I don't judge them, right? But anyways, and, you know, others of them, they're, like, throwing parties at night till, like, 1, 2 a.m. You know what I mean? I'm just like, man. Usually I don't go, you know, but sometimes I just knock on the door. I'm like, hey, man, it's 1 a.m., bro. Oh, sorry. It's like, that's, you know, I haven't really talked to them much beyond like saying hi. But like, I'm being challenged even by this truth. God put me there as their neighbor. And what am I doing? You know, even Pastor Jamie, she works at this place in the city. And we've been talking about inviting some of them over pretty soon to our place. And, you know, she's hung out with them at different times outside. But, like, some of them, you know, they're like, it's like loving the stranger, right? And we want to invite them in. And we're like, yeah, let's do that soon. I would love to get to know them, too. I mean, none of them are Christian, and that's okay. We're not inviting them just so we could bring them to church or, like, just so we could tell them about the gospel. No, no, no. We just, you know, hospitality, just reaching out, just loving, you know what I mean, inviting them in into a place. Hey, this is where we call home, inviting them into our lives. So it's like, hey, it's your neighbors. It's the people you work with, the people you go to school with. I mean, who are you inviting? Who are you bringing in? Who are you going out with? A lot of you guys are doing this well already. I want to challenge you, you know, even more, next level. And here's the thing about hospitality. It costs money, and it costs time, and it costs energy, and it costs a lot of different things. Hospitality costs you. Right? If hospitality doesn't cost you, all right, then I don't know what kind of hospitality you're doing. But, you know, hospitality, like, you got to take the time to plan the meal. You got to fit it into your schedule, right? You got to cook the meal. You got to pay for the ingredients. You got to stand at the line on the line at the store. You got to do all this stuff. You got to vacuum the floor. You got to put everything away into the closet so it looks clean. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding, right? We don't do that. Yeah, actually, maybe we do, right? But, you know, you got to do all this stuff. And it costs you. It's expensive. But, you know, that's what hospitality is. And some of you, maybe you're thinking, oh, I don't have the home or I don't have the money to, you know, like, take people out or bring people in. I mean, hospitality is always going to cost you. But you know something? When you show hospitality, you're being like God. Because God is the ultimate host. God showed the ultimate hospitality for us. You see, the Bible says we were left outside. You know, we came up in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, but they were exiled. We've been exiled out of God's presence because of our sin. And God welcomed us back. He invited us in, but only at great cost to himself. Actually, it was the greatest cost. He had to give up his son, his own life, that it cost God to welcome us back in, into his inner circle. But God did it because he's the ultimate host. Despite whatever it cost him, he welcomed us back. You see this in the story of the prodigal son. The son takes all the money, he squanders it in reckless, wild living, gambling, prostitutes, all that stuff. The whole inheritance, he comes back. And the father just welcomes him with open arms. Even though all that he's thrown away, even though whatever it costs the father, he says, bring out the fattened calf. Bring out the ring, the robe, the shoes. You know, put on a party. I'm going to welcome my son back because he was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. And this is the heart of God. That when he brings us back, no matter what it costs him, even the cost of his own son, that he rejoices, that he welcomes us back in. And so even if it costs us, you know, prepare to pay for that meal, to the time to prepare, all that stuff. You know, it's you know, even if you take someone out and you pay for them, it costs you. It adds up. You're connecting with someone like that maybe once a week, once every couple weeks. You add that into your budget. Hey, you know, like, you know, a lot of us are young too. So I know that cost, you feel it. But I'm saying when you do that, you're showing people the heart of God. You're being like God. And you're blessing them with the blessing of God. And that's why there's power in that. You could be entertaining angels unawares. And so simple hospitality. You know what I mean? Like, I know many of y'all don't have homes. And, you know, I want to honor, like, a couple people in this church, who I feel like they've been really great at this. Some of our younger members, actually, right? I just want to honor them. All right, Helen and Kat, right? I just want to honor you guys, right? Like they're younger, okay? But like when we came to Sydney, like I was so blessed. Their hospitality really stood out to me, and to my wife, right? And you know they're not making riches, and they're not wealthy or anything like that. But you know they're living in the city and they have their nice little place, and they would invite us over. And they would say, hey, you know, I want to show you, one, you know, some of my favorite places. And you know what I mean? I just saw that. And despite how young they were, and I know it cost them. And I was like so blessed. You know what I mean? As coming in as a foreigner, even though I'm a pastor. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, no friends here, no family. And just trying to figure out how to do life here. And you know, it wasn't easy. Right? And just their hospitality. I was like so blessed by that. You know what I mean? Like, it's powerful. So God bless you guys. But I've seen them do that to other people too. And so, yeah, you know, I want to challenge you. Yeah, how can you be like God? You know, Pastor Jamie, during the prayer time, she just said, I feel like God's heart right now is to welcome. You know, that's God's heart, right? God's heart is to welcome to the lost, the confused, the weary. He says, come to me. Come to me. Anyone who comes to me, I will never cast out. God will never reject anyone who comes to him with a sincere heart. He just embraces. He welcomes. He invites. How can you be doing that in your life? How can you be showing the welcome of God, the hospitality of God, through your money, through your home, through your resources, through your things, through your time, through... How can you be doing that? I want to give you a couple practical suggestions, because hospitality is very practical, right? Because it's, you know, it's like very practical. All right, that's obvious. Okay, so basically, you know, like, you know, sometimes the idea of practicing hospitality sounds good as a theory. Oh, yeah, I would love to invite people. I would love to host people. I would love to. But then, you know, it takes work to actually do it. So that's why... You know what I mean? You got to have the desire, but you got to also understand, like, hey, this is what's taught in the Bible, right? About how our lifestyle should be like. And so sometimes you just do it, and you just push through. And even, you know, even when you're having a tough week, but you invite someone in and you experience, man, like God's grace, God's presence was here. You know what I mean? Even on Sundays, right? You can even practice hospitality at Sunday service. You know what I mean? After church, we have that awkward period of a few minutes. Like, okay, you know, I give the benediction. We're holding hands. All of a sudden, we let go. And it's like, okay, what do I do right now, right? Like, oh, is there anyone to talk to? Or like, oh, should I wait? Oh, that person's talking to us. Oh, snap, I got to leave. You know, I'm like, I don't know. You know, some people, I'm saying it's awkward, right? Even during that time. I mean, are you just going to your friend? Or is your eye out for... Hey, the person who's new, the person who's not talking to anyone, you know what I mean? Just going up to them. You know, sometimes even more than the message, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times what people are ministered to by is just that personal connection. You know, just you greet them, you give them a smile, you say hi. Hey, my name's Paul. You know, like, oh, hey, you know, like, how about you? Like, hey, how you doing? How you doing in life? You know, it doesn't have to even be the deepest, just that connection. And you know, we also got to learn to like have good conversations with people too. You know what I mean? But you know, you could even be thinking ahead of time, what kind of questions can I ask to different people? Hey, I wonder how that person's doing. You know, I want to make sure to talk to them after service, before service. You know what I mean? Like it's a practice. You got to discipline yourself to do these things. Right. So don't just be passive. Seek to show hospitality. There's power in it. I would love for our church. Man, may it be said of New Philly Sydney, like that's a hospitable church. Like anyone who goes there, they'll find a refuge. They'll find a home. They'll find a beach. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray.